Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
And welcome to our morning worship. Particular welcome if we do have any visitors worshipping with us today. While greeting any newcomers, may I take the opportunity of greeting those who will be listening to the service later on by means of our recorded ministry on the website. For whatever reason it is you're listening online, we do hope you'll enjoy the service and feel uplifted by it. As a church, of course, we meet as Emmanuel with Highworth United Reformed Church and as a member of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. In terms of this morning's service, it's being led by the minister, and during the service there will be an opportunity to present any gifts you may have brought for the children of the Harbour Project. The Bible lesson today will be read by Helen Marson, and the prayers of intercession have been devised and are being read by David Leadbeater. I'm delighted to say there are no notices other than those in the weekly news sheet, so I do hope you've received your copy in the way you prefer, as a hard copy or via email. But can I just underline that next week's service, a week earlier than perhaps you might have anticipated, will be the annual carol service here at Emmanuel. So do spread the word. It would be lovely to see a packed church next week. We'll now take a few moments of quiet as I light our Christ candle and the peace candle, and as we prepare to worship God.
Good morning and welcome to this time of worship. And as I often say, we gather here for worship, but we are also part of the family of God that at different times, in different places, through different languages, are gathered for worship. In some part of the world, it is Sunday, 10:30 in the morning. Not only here, but was before and will be later. And the sense that we gather as one big family is important to who we are and what we learn. A big thank you to those who have done such a lot of work to decorate the church for this Advent and Christmas season. A beautiful Christmas tree in white and red with a green background, the nativity scenes, the Christmas card, community Christmas card at the back there, absolutely beautiful, the Advent candle. Thank you, thank you, thank you very, very much. To those of us who have no sense of being able to do even a third of that, you can't imagine how wonderful it is to walk in, look at it and say, thank you, dear God, for the talents you have given so many other people. The call for worship from the book of Psalms, give the king your justice, O God. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. We sing. We'll be using both our hymn books today. Rejoice and sing for our first hymn, hymn 126, O come, Emmanuel. We'll be omitting verse 2, 7, and 8. 2, 7, and 8, we won't sing. Hymn 126. It's at the same time upsetting and filled with hope that so many of the words included in the Advent hymns that we will sing today and sing for the next few Sundays are filled with that longing that we felt, at least I did, and I'm sure most of you did, that we should not need to be singing with the intensity we are by what is going on in the world today. So many things that we felt should have finished and not come back, and not be reading about them in the news or seeing about them, and yet they are there. And the intensity of the hymns leads us to really affirm the words with their full meaning, because God's will is what we sing, and so much of what we see and read of have little to do with the values of the kingdom that Christmas is all about. So thank God for those who wrote the hymns, who speak still to us through the words of the hymns that we sing, and we know how to sing them with the intensity of that love that God has poured into the hearts of those who wrote them. I invite you to join with me now in a time of prayer, of thanksgiving and of confession, and we will end saying the Lord's Prayer all together. Let us pray. You are the light that shines bright in the midst of darkness, and darkness cannot put it out. And we are called to shine that light that comes from you, spreading. We may think it is a small light that doesn't make much difference, but it does. And each small light coming together makes a brighter light. And where some of those lights are turned out by so much of the pain and sorrow that goes on in the world and in the lives of your people, others come together and relight them. Or others who have not been shining yet are now shining, because your light will not be able to be diminished. That is your will, and it is to that will that we cling to today. We thank you for that light. We thank you that you have shared it with us and invited us to be part of it. Thank you for the gifts of so many people that make a difference in this world. Selfless people, self-giving, who love in the simple little things of every day that will make a difference to the lives of others. Thank you for those who don't give up hoping, even if things seem bleak. Thank you for the lives of those who walk with us. And much to our surprise, we sometimes discover that we can be that person to somebody else. We are grateful, dear God, that at this time, especially at this time as we approach Christmas in this time of Advent, we are reminded of how the little things of life have come together and make a big difference. We want to be part of that. We need to be part of that. And without your help and your guidance and your inspiration, it is even more difficult. But this is a journey that we're on because you have called us so long ago. And we join that journey with those who have come before us, those who are walking it with us, and those that will come after us. Thank you. And help us never to forget, please God, that we may never forget that the little things make a big difference. And for those little things in life, we are grateful. for the ones that touch our lives and the ones that through us touch the lives of others. And forgive us. Forgive us if we get closed up in our own selfishness, which we do. And we often regret it as soon as we see it's there. Forgive us if we get caught up in wrong thoughts. Forgive us if we stop believing that you can make a difference. Forgive us if we don't trust that your love, even in us, is present in this world today. Yes, we get cross with things. Yes, we have a lot to say about what is going on in the world, and rightly so. The holy indignation that Jesus also felt on the things he encountered in his ministry, give it to us also to share, because that will be the beginning of something new, a difference, starting with us and spreading far and wide. So in your love and your grace, forgive us for what should not be in our lives and yet is. Forgive us for those things that are in our life and we cast out. And in your grace, make us new, that through mercy and peace and love, we may be transformed and our light may shine. And as your children living today in this place and at this time, together with the children everywhere, we gather and say the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I confess that I'm in a really mix-up this week. I was telling Brian just now, yes, it's the first Sunday of the month, but it's the second Sunday of Advent. So Advent should begin in December, but last month, the 30th of November, it began. So in my mind, today is the second Sunday of the month. Prayers of intercession led by Robert, not by the prayer team, though I had been warned. Don't ask me why. Probably by next week it'll all fall into place. Today is the first Sunday, and David and Janet will also be lighting the second candle of Advent.
The dictionary defines peace as a state of tranquility or quiet, such as a freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. However, inner peace can be a little more complicated than that. Peace in your heart is a yearning of wholeness, connection, and calm. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid."
A prayer for peace, so relevant today. God, grant us the serenity to accept those things we cannot change. Courage to change these things we can. and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as a pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as we would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if we surrender to his will, that we may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen.
Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, David. And our response to the candle that's just been lit comes from Sing Praise. It's hymn 13, and it's the second verse. Longing for peace, our world is trouble. Longing for hope, many despair. But sing the third and the fourth line as well.
Letter to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 1 to 13, and this can be found on page 159 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. We who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbour for the good purpose of building up the neighbour. For Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God in his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Helen. And there's one piece of information that I forgot to ask before the service began, and that was, I don't know the name of the anthem for today, and I apologize, but the choir will sing the anthem, which is called?
There is no rose of such virtue.
There is no rose of such virtue. Now, we all have the answer. Thank you very much. Lord, having heard your word, be patient with us as we search understanding and guide us in the right direction. Amen. I just want to admit at the very beginning, this is not an easy passage of Romans chapter 15. So if you'd like to have your Bible open, because I'm going to mention a few things, please feel free, or else when you get home and you wonder what in heaven's name Robert did say, read it again and it may come back to you. Even Robert, having prepared it, has the Bible open in front of him, while I'm talking myself as if I were somebody else. Advent is a time of preparation. And no matter how many Advents we go through, we always need to be prepared. Advent this year comes in a situation in the world which is very different from Advent last year. And yet, many of the elements are the same. We still light the peace candle. We haven't forgotten that. My prayer is that one day we don't need to. But I'm hoping that comes before the kingdom comes. But at least when the kingdom is among us, we will be able to blow the peace candle out. But I'd like it to happen before that. It's a time to get ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And every Sunday morning, just before I leave the house, I always look at the headlines of the news on my laptop. Is there something that I should know that's happened since yesterday that is worth bringing to the attention of the congregation? And today, I found something I want to share. It was no way anticipated yesterday. And I loved it. A few months ago, a certain march of a group of people in England, led by somebody who has a real name but is often known by his non-real name, and I don't want to even mention it, you've got the hints there, said, it's about time this country put Christ back into the centre and Christ into Christmas. Today, the Anglican Church, the Church of England, has brought out a declaration and a document which says Christ has never been out of Christmas. Good point. And they put a comma there and not a full stop. And we just want to remind everybody. And there's no emphasis, there's no bold writing there in everybody, but if you read between the lines, outsiders are welcome. All are welcome. And it's based not on this reading, but this reading speaks to that. Because we are going to pick up some of these issues. But it's so important that this time of the year, the church points out that Christ is in Christmas, that everybody is welcome. And then immediately after that, and I put it up on my Facebook page for those who follow it, JPIT, which is the Joint Public Issues team, of which the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the URC, and the Church of Scotland involved, has just produced a new document, a new package for helping people on the concept of welcomeness during Advent, and what is more interesting, beyond Advent. Because it's no good if we're going to be a welcoming church during the four Sundays of Advent, and then we've got 48 Sundays in the rest of the year to forget about it. Because the reality of the God we believe in and proclaim is that God chose from the very beginning of time that he wanted to be part of. God wasn't going to be the God that sat on Mount Olympus looking down to what these ridiculous little creatures down below were getting up to. Sometimes it was good fun, and the Greek and the Romans had their God for fun. But they just looked and said, look at the mess they're doing. Let us get on in Mount Olympus with a party. And they did, oblivious to what was going on below, on planet Earth. God chose to be in the midst, in the center of all that. And we sang that in the first hymn this morning. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. Not God over there, but God in the midst of all this. God doesn't want to be kept out. And he has come. And God chose, much to the shock of everybody, to come in the simple way. In the babe in a manger. When everybody was looking for the new king in the palace. And in Jesus' last moments on earth, he entered Jerusalem on the donkey. Not on a chariot, not on horseback, but in a borrowed donkey. When in Jesus' message and his ministry and the life he showed us, he was a welcoming, particularly to those who had been excluded, who weren't part or considered worthy of the establishment. The chosen to be your prime place within the kingdom. And we need to prepare for this, because it doesn't come naturally. It has to be the result of a choice. We want this to happen. It doesn't happen by itself. It's a result of intention. Advent reminds us that the kingdom, one of the elements it contains, is peace. And there will never be peace if there's no justice. There'll never be peace if there's no empathy. There will never be peace without love. And this passage we have just heard from the letter of the Romans gives us clear guidance. And it's very interesting that this reading will quote passages from what we call the Old Testament in a way that will surprise us. The central point of the reading are three moments of the Old Testament. And it says that through Jesus, God wants to unite Gentiles and Jews into one people. And this was God's plan from the beginning when the Bible spoke about the chosen people. And I'll explain that in a moment. Which is very interesting. Because how many times when reading the Bible, we come face to face with a need to feel accepted, to be part of, and particularly so many of those who were cast out, hunger for being part of. There are two clear sections of this reading, verses 1 to 6 and then verses 7 to 13. And each of these sections, we find quotes of what we call the Old Testament, and they end with a prayer in verse 5 and in verse 13. Paul also quotes Psalm 69. And he assures us, Paul does, that the writings he has before us, that which we are reading, that what we are hearing, has been written for our instruction. And that Jesus is the one that will fulfill the hope for us to live. We are called to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Jesus Christ. Now tell me if this is not the urgent call for the time in which we are living. We are called to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Jesus. Now, I didn't know this reading was coming. So last Sunday, those who were at Bath Road for the partnership service, we were given the card, and if you don't have your card, there's one for all of you. Please take one before you leave. This is what it looks like. The back of it has the Prayer for Growth, which is the partnerships for a long time, and each year we choose a Bible verse for the year, and it's launched the first Sunday of Advent. And this year, the verse comes from Romans 13, just two chapters before this. Love never wrongs anyone. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. So if in the name of love somebody is harmed, that is not love. We can dress it up with whatever word we want, but love never harms anyone. Or, as it says in today's reading, we are called to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Jesus Christ. The second section, verses 7 to 13, reminds us that we have been welcomed by Jesus and we must be welcoming to others for the glory of God and much to the surprise of those of the time who were those that were to be welcomed, particularly those who had been excluded for so long. They are recipients of the invitation. The Gentiles. To make it easier, we don't use that word too much in our context today, but that means us, those that weren't born into the Jewish faith, in what they thought was the chosen people. So if some group of people are chosen, we are also affirming that there are another group of people who are not chosen. And we have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. I don't believe in a God that shows a few as against others. I can't say those words. I can't ask you to believe that. And I hope you have trouble with that concept as well. The Gentiles, through Jesus and the development of the values of the kingdom that he taught, a new reality is being created. And today, us being here are part of the community of believers. We have to ask ourselves then, if we, who originally would have been called the Gentiles, are now part of the community, we are no longer the excluded. Who are the excluded in the world today? And why are they excluded? Is it God's will? Or is it our definition of what we would like to see excluded? The Gentiles in Jesus' time, and yet, just think randomly of those moments that Jesus specially connected to them. The woman by the well in the Gospel of John. Do you remember what her origin was? Come on, you know. Sunday school. Go back. Come on. Do you remember what she was?
Samaritan.
A Samaritan woman. Come on, you all knew that. And the apostles say, why are you talking to Samaritan? And she was the first one that ran and said, this guy, who we have no contact with, told me my whole life. And she became an evangelist. Women, no role in the society. But if we take the women out of the story, there is no resurrection story to be told. The woman that for 12 years was losing blood, and as such, she could not be in human company. Excluded, rightly so. She'd contaminate us all. There is a reason for this. And then she gets up to, and she says, all I need to do is touch his gown. And Jesus turns around and says, who touched me? Power has gone from me. And the apostles say, Jesus Almighty. I mean, you must be mad. You're surrounded by people. Everybody's pushing you. Everybody's pushing, but only one is seeking for help. And she goes up and says, it was me. And he says, go, you've been healed. Just think of the ministry of Jesus reaching out to those who for centuries had had no place in the story whatsoever. And let us go now to the thousands of people everywhere who have no entry into the story. Paul turns to the Old Testament to explain the radical change of the new times. And now I'm going to read, word by word, verses 9 to 12, if you want to follow, or just listen to them. And pick up how many times the word Gentile will appear in this reading. They are taken from what the Jewish religious group called the Torah, the Nebim, which are the prophets, and the Ketuvim, which are the writings. So there's not one area of what we call the Old Testament that is not quoted. And it says, as it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name, 2 Samuel chapter 20. And then again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with this people, Deuteronomy chapter 32. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples praise him. Psalm 117. And then he gives us the quote directly. And Isaiah. And how many times have we heard this phrase in Advent time? The root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall find hope. And what Paul is saying, this is God's plan. This is what God wants from time immemorial. And we say today, we Gentiles are part of this. Who isn't? And our task in Advent and beyond Advent, let's be dead serious with this, is to try and come close to those who don't feel that there is a place for them in the church, for whatever reason. And you know, you don't have to go very far to think of what has happened over the centuries. And I go back to what I said at the beginning, what I read today in the news. Christ has to be back in Christmas, to which the Church of England responds, he's never been out of Christmas. Get over it. And as a response says, all are welcome. Everybody is welcome. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't the birth of Jesus in a manger where the shepherds, who weren't part of the religious community, do you know, the shepherds couldn't go to the synagogue because they were looking after other people's sheep. There was no time to go. They couldn't leave the sheep abandoned. They stank to high heaven because there was no time to bath or thing. They were not welcome in public settings. Who wants to sit beside somebody that smells or stand beside them? And you. But that's the way people were measured at one time or another. Then you get the Magi coming from the strangest lands. And then, the horror of horrors, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus have to go as exiles because his life is in danger to the country which imprisoned them years earlier. If we look at it clearly through the eyes that God has given us, we can see all those structures of exclusion collapsing. Because through the birth of the child at Christmas, and Advent is preparing us for that, everything is new. So that's why I say every Advent is the opportunity to learn something new, to open our hearts, our ears, our eyes, and keep them open until the next Advent, because we will have things to learn. Because the birth of the promised child is the way forward. And in this divided world, more so than ever. Divided because of hatred, of destruction, of personal ambitions. This new way in Jesus is needed. I'm not going to say more than ever, but as urgently as ever before. Let us pray. The reality of Advent, dear God, isn't that we are waiting for the birth of the Christ child. He has been born. And he is here and waiting for us to come. He is crying out to us from the border. He is calling to us from the voices of the poor. He is shouting out from the prisons. He is waiting for us to live out our faith, to extend our arms and our heart to those that feel not wanted. He is waiting for us to seek justice. He is waiting for us to pursue peace. Let us go on this journey, for Jesus is waiting. Amen. Rejoice and sing. Hymn 137, Hark the Glad Sound, the Saviour Comes. I didn't choose this hymn on purpose because I've only just picked up on this. Well, I did choose the hymn on purpose, but if anybody goes home and says, well, Robert went over the top today, just bear in mind that the words we've just sung were written by somebody who was born in 1702 and died in 1751. So he was 49 when he died, and that's nearly 300 years ago. So, I mean, there's nothing to 21st century radicalism in what the Bible says and what the hymn we've just sung says. It's a good story to live out. Before sharing our offering, this is the time, if you have any of the toys that we will be taking to the Harbour Project, if you want to bring them forward, there are some packets already at the foot of the Christmas tree. I will be taking them next week, so if you haven't got any today and you want to bring next Sunday, you will be able to do that as well. So you can bring them to the front or put them beside the Christmas tree, and then we will dedicate them. Please. Dear God, through you we can smile, we can laugh, we can cry with broken hearts, but through the Spirit you mend us, heal us. And we want to share that possibility with so many other people in a broken and divided world. Bless the offering that is in the plate and what we give in different ways. Bless the toys that will be taken to the Harbour Project and bring joy to children whose families are sad because they won't be able to give them too much. And what is in the box at the back that will go to the food collective, that people may be able to receive that and share something new and different in this Christmas season. That your blessing may be on all this and our lives, to a joy of your kingdom made public and shared through the life of your people. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.
As the family of God in the Old Town Partnership, we bring our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, in this Advent time we come to you with our prayers and hopes that we may work for you in your kingdom here on earth. Eternal One, we thank you for all that is good in our lives, the beauty of our world, the love we share with friends and family, the freedoms we enjoy to worship, love, and live as we please. Yet, as we thank you, we remember those that are not free, those persecuted by faith and for their faith, politics and love, those living in fears that precious freedoms have been removed. Help us, dear God, to hope, love, and help. Lord Jesus, may your joy abound in our hearts as we pray night and day for your coming reign. We may not see the signs in heaven you spoke about, but see plenty of signs in our world. The rise of dictators, and those who envy them, the mass movements of people, war and terror, ecological disasters. We long for the joy and peace you promise, but live in the gloom of our realities. Help us to speak the truth, even when inconvenient, to lift those oppressed by life, and to challenge the unjust who use power, and we should use power wherever we encounter it. Holy Spirit, our hearts in holiness, strengthen our hearts in holiness as we live and work together in a confusing world, full of pain and praise, tragedy and beauty, failure and glory, that we may become blameless before our God. Help us to be alert to the needs of our world and our community, that we may respond to your call to love both as individuals and congregations, showing your life and love as our redemption draws near. Heavenly Lord, we pray for your churches here in Swindon and within the Old Town Partnership. We pray particularly for us here at Emmanuel and our brothers and sisters in Emmanuel, Hayden, Wick and Malmesbury. Your servants in these churches draw near to retirement after giving their services and lives to you. Grant them peace and fulfillment in the years to come. Lord, we know that there will be a cap in our churches, but with your help, your guidance, we will continue to carry out our mission to do your will in whatever way we can. Lord, we pray for those who are ill, close to death, grieving, or finding themselves in one of life's deep valleys, unable to see the way through. We pray, Lord, for the communities of which, as a partnership of churches, we are part of, for those in difficult relationships, hidden realities, and the mountain which is the injustice within society. We pray at this time particularly for your servant, Simon Stevenette, and his family. that his recovery will be strong, and we can soon welcome him back into our midst. You call your church to be a voice in the wilderness of life, to tell of your mercy and love, to speak of your justice. Lord, here we are, use us. In silence, we bring our own personal prayers. We pray for ourselves and for others, for the unconscious bias that is within us, and how we can shape our openness to the world. Finally, as we prepare to come, your coming, Jesus, pour our Holy Spirit upon us to refine our view of the world and guide our feet on your path. Lord, here we are, use us. Amen.
Thank you very much, dear. Our final hymn before the closing of the service, it's hymn 656 from Rejoice and Sing. Lo, he comes with clouds descending, once for favoured sinners slain.
Thank you.
me close the service with the final words from the reading in Romans today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in the love of God, who loves all creation deeply, and the peace of God guide your steps, your thoughts, your word, and your actions, and that of God's people everywhere, now and always. Amen.